In Galatians chapter 5, let's begin with verse 22. The Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." As we've been walking through the fruit of the Spirit, we looked at love, the love of God and the love God wants us to have. And we've also seen the joy of the Lord, the joy that's unspeakable. We've seen the peace that passes all understanding that God wants in our heart. And we've seen that last week, the long-suffering, the patience with others, patience with difficulties that God wants us to have, the longevity to stay in the race, to be faithful, to not quit, to not give up, and extend patience to others, to be long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. This morning, we're going to be looking at the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. Gentleness. Gentleness, and this fruit, is really the fruit of tenderness in how we treat others. Tenderness in how we treat others, or kindness in how we treat others. The next one, which is goodness, speaks more of a moral purity, a moral goodness, and we'll look at that next week, Lord willing. But gentleness, how we treat others. You know, when I think of the word gentleness, what is the first, and I'll just throw this out there, when you think of the word gentleness, what's the first human relationship that comes to mind? A mother? A mother? Anybody else? A mother! Yeah, that's what I thought of too when I thought gentleness. I thought, we usually think of a mother, her tenderness, her compassion, her love and care for her children, especially. And so I want you to notice 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7. The Apostle Paul says that when he came and preached to the Thessalonians, when he came and shared the gospel with them, notice chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "But we were gentle among you." We were gentle among you. How? "Even as a nurse cherisheth her children." The nurse here is not so much the nurse in the hospital, but the nurse in the home. Specifically the mother, as you notice her children. It's possessive that it's her own children. She's caring, another word could be used there, caring for her children, ministering to the needs of her children. So the Apostle Paul thought of that too under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that they came, when they came to the Thessalonians to share the gospel and to teach the word of God, he says, "We were gentle, just like a mother is with her children." And so God wants us to have this gentleness, this gentleness. Let me go to the dictionary for just a broader understanding of what gentleness is, and specifically even the underlying Greek word here of being gentle. It's the idea of being generous and kind. So it's benevolent, not just treating others with kindness or not being mean, but being benevolent, being kind, being good to others. The idea of being pleasant. Even it carries the idea of integrity, of being honest with others. We know that you're not being kind if you're telling someone a lie. That's unkind. And so being honest, not harsh or mean, but rather compassionate and caring. Compassionate and caring. In our flesh, we are naturally harsh and mean. Naturally, we strive for our own way, and we care little about who we step on, who we hurt. But God calls us to have this fruit, gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit. So when the Spirit of God has full reign in someone's life, when someone is walking with God, walking in the Spirit, when the sap of God is flowing through our veins, as it were, what's going to come out of our life is not meanness and fighting and striving and me first, but rather kindness, compassion, giving, caring, honesty, all of these things. And so God wants us to be gentle. The Apostle Paul, as we see, testified that how they ministered to the Thessalonians was with gentleness. We were gentle among you. God wants us, as the servant of the Lord, to be gentle. That's reiterated even clearer in 2 Timothy. Notice over here, 2 Timothy in chapter 2. 2 Timothy in chapter 2, notice verse 22. The Bible says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, patience with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." So God wants us to walk in godliness, to walk in righteousness with others who are walking in righteousness. Verse 23, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife." Some things aren't worth arguing about, and there's no point. It's just causing trouble. It's just causing disagreement, strife, contention. Verse 24 says, "And the servant of the Lord must not," help me now, "must not strive, but be gentle unto all men." Unto who? All men. All men. And so the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, or ready and willing to teach. Patient. Patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And so we as God's servants, the way God wants us to conduct ourselves is not in a brash, in-your-face kind of stubborn and ugly way, but rather with gentleness, standing firm on truth, willing to teach, to really help people. And you can see Jesus helping different people. You know, instead of coming with condemnation to the woman at the well who had had five husbands and now was not living with a husband, but living in with somebody, in the sinful condition that woman was in, when Jesus approached her, when she approached Jesus, Jesus had compassion. He was gentle. But that doesn't mean he didn't deal with her sin. He pointed out her sin. He did expose that. Why? Because sin was the problem, and Christ was the answer. And he was the answer, and he said, "If you'd ask of me, I'd give you living water." And all of those things. And so Jesus, with compassion, helped a sinner to come to the Savior. And so God wants us to, yes, stand on truth, but he wants us, the gentleness is the how we do it. It's the how we conduct ourselves. It's the how we communicate. It's the how. The way in which we stand. The way in which we serve. And so gentleness. Not striving. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach. Patient. The Bible tells us, we will just remember these verses, but in Ephesians 4, verse 15, it says that we ought to speak the truth in love, right? Speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now go over with me to Psalm 85. Psalm 85. Let's notice verse 10. Psalm 85, verse 10. The Bible says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. What do we have going on here that God is showing us? That we can have truth and mercy, right? Mercy is you know, it's a different aspect of being gentle, but it's in a gentle way. It's of kindness. It's not giving someone what they deserve. It's a patience with someone. But there's truth. Truth and mercy blend together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And so there's a bond here of truth and mercy. And I would say that speaking the truth in love, it's important. There's some, sometimes some people, maybe they seem well-meaning. The way they communicate, the way they preach the gospel, the way they talk to people or whatever is very, very in your face. But God wants us to serve with gentleness. We can be firm as Jesus was, but we can be compassionate and kind in our dealings with others. And so I want you to notice that God has been gentle to us. God has been gentle to us. I mean, if there's ever been anyone that could have been just harsh with us, it would be God. If God has every right and we are in the wrong, He could be very brash with us. He could bring swift judgment to us. But I want you to notice Psalm 18. Notice what David says here about the Lord in verse 35. Psalm 18 and verse 35. He says, Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath helpen me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Wow. You know, God didn't have to give us salvation. God didn't have to save us. Jesus didn't have to come to this earth. We could have perished, and rightly so. But in God's many other attributes as well, but in his gentleness, He provided salvation. He was kind to us. He extended His love to us. And so notice that. He says, Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation. Thy right hand hath helped me up. Picture that scene. And thy gentleness hath made me great. Did you know that we're children of the King? We're children of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. How gentle God has been with us. How many times he's reached his right hand and helping us up. Even as a child of his disposition towards us has been kindness, gentleness. Whether in our lost condition, certainly he has been gentle. Please notice the book of Romans in chapter 2. Romans and chapter 2. We find here the exact same Greek word being used as is in the list of the fruit of the Spirit. And the one that's translated gentleness. And God says here to the lost, He says, verse 4, He says, Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness? The word translated here, goodness, is the exact same Greek word as translated gentleness in the list of the fruit of the Spirit. And so here God is saying, Do you despise, O sinful man, or you know, self-righteous person? Do you despise the riches of God's gentleness? of his kindness toward you, and forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You see, God is good. God has been kind. When we deserved punishment, God has given mercy. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. There must be this communion of truth and gentleness. And so the way God wants us to conduct ourselves as his servants, as his children, is in the same disposition that he has had to us. God has never ignored truth. He's never downplayed righteousness. But he has always blended it with mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. And God has always been a merciful God, and his disposition towards us has been one of kindness, of benevolence, of gentleness, which brings us, which draws us to repentance. Notice Ephesians chapter 2. As we consider God's disposition towards us, Ephesians and chapter 2, let's notice verse 7. Ephesians 2 and verse 7. In fact, let's back up just a little bit. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now notice verse 7, because here's that same word going to appear, the same Greek word, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness. There's the word, same word, translated gentleness and the fruit of the Spirit. His exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, the kindness God speaks of in this passage is not the kindness in saving our soul. It's not the kindness in the daily Christian life of his grace and goodness towards us. The kindness of which he speaks here in this passage is the kindness when it says in the beginning of the verse, that in the ages to come. I'll tell you what. You want to know how eternity is going to go for the believer? When we are dwelling with Christ? Do you know how things are going to go? God's going to continue to be bountiful in kindness. Kindness for all eternity. God's disposition towards us is kindness. I'll tell you what, God has wonderful, joyful, pleasant things to come. And so he says in the ages to come, he wants to show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. Wow. Good things to come. And so God, without doubt, has been gentle to each of us. And therefore, God calls us to live a life of gentle service to others. Notice Colossians 3. Colossians in chapter 3, verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And so, if we're saved, we need to get our focus with the Lord. We need to seek those things. Now, verse 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice. See, these are all the fleshly things. These are things that come natural for us, all right? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. That's defamation of someone else's character. We've seen that pretty prevalent in our world in recent days. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We're a new man in Christ. And if God has been gentle to us, if God's disposition and part of his very character is gentleness, if we're full of God, gentleness is what will characterize our life. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness. Kindness. There's our word. Kindness. God says, this is what I want you to put on. I want you to put on kindness. This gentle disposition towards others. The how of how you treat others, of how you talk to others, of how you interact with others. I want it to be in kindness. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You see, God wants us to have kindness to others. Notice Titus chapter 3, noticing verse 1. Titus 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Our world is full of this malice and anger and hating one another and speaking evil of others. We don't have to look very far in the political arena as the election heats up to see slanderous statements and evil speaking and malicious words and untrue statements and you name it. We've got this fighting and bickering and anger, but God wants us as a believer of his to have a truth stand. Yes. But how we communicate that truth, that we don't strive but apt to teach. It's a gentle disposition of, this is what I believe, and this is what God's word teaches, and that's why I believe it. And can I help you to see this? It's the spirit of compassion for others, of recognizing that it's my agenda isn't what's as most important. It's helping others in as a believer to know Christ. Helping others to grow in Christ. You see, God tells us that we don't battle against flesh and blood. Even though the faces of sometimes conflict or sometimes disagreement, the faces are other human faces. But they're people that God loves. And sometimes the battles that we face And the lack of gentleness sometimes is right in our own home, between brethren, sisters, spouses, that our disposition is harsh or mean. You see, gentleness is not just not being mean, but it's being benevolent. It's extending kindness, even if someone else isn't kind. It's treating others with love. And so God calls us here. Notice here in Titus, as we continue reading, let's skip down to verse 8. It says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. God wants us to have these good works, right, that are edifying. They're good and profitable unto men. Things that are helping others, helping our brother, helping our sister. And so the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness. This is what God calls us to, how we are to treat others. I want to share with you four expressions of gentleness, very quickly. Four expressions of gentleness. I believe God wants us to express gentleness through sensitivity. They're all S's. Through sensitivity. God wants us to be sensitive to the needs of others, right? It's easy for us to blow through our days without considering others. But God says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Philippians 2:4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. God says in Romans 12, verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. You see, God wants us to be sensitive to the needs of others. Secondly, an expression of gentleness that God wants us to have is not just sensitivity, but it is sympathy. Sensitivity, but sympathy. Sympathy for others. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens. God wants us to have sympathy for others. So it's not enough to just say, to be sensitive and say, oh, there's someone in need. But God says, I want you to have sympathy on them and help them. Get involved there. See what you can do. Bear that burden. How can I help? We must be careful that we do not develop a cynical spirit. That we say, oh, look at the mess they're in. Boy, what dumb decisions they've made. You know, what... You know, and we have a cynical spirit, and we sort of like scoff at them. Like, man, if I was in their shoes, you know, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't be in that mess that they're in. Well, that's not the spirit that God wants us to have. Not a condemning spirit. Not a you know, this cynical spirit. God wants us to be sensitive. Here's someone. They're in trouble. They've made decisions, yes, that are foolish, they're unwise, and they need help. And we need to see what we can do to help them, not just enable them in the continuing the same way they're going, but teach them, apt to teach, patient with them, so that we can help them. So sensitivity, God wants us to have. Sympathy, God wants us to have. God also wants us to express gentleness through straightforwardness. Gentleness is not passivity of like, oh well, you know, they're making bad decisions and I'm just going to come up and say, hey, how you doing, you know, good pal, and leave them in that condition. No, I'm going to be straightforward. We're not going to lie. The Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that if we don't have charity, we can have the biggest, best vocabulary words and we can have all the best intentions, but if we don't have charity, it's of no profit. But God also says that charity is kind. Charity suffereth long and is kind. And so God wants us to be straightforward, to speak the truth in love, as I mentioned earlier, to speak the truth in love. Gentleness is not a, oh well, anything goes, you know, mentality. No, not anything goes. But we need to be straight up with people, not deceptive, not praising when praise is not due, and not condoning when condoning is not appropriate. All right, so sensitivity, be gentle with sympathy, be gentle with straightforwardness, and be gentle with spontaneity. Spontaneity. Galatians 6:10. Let's go over there. Galatians 6:10. Notice the context. Verse 7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Verse 9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." But now verse 10, it says, read it with me, would you? Verse 10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Spontaneity. We need to be gentle with spontaneity. You go into the post office, somebody's a gentleman or a lady's walking up the steps behind you, open the door, say, "Go ahead." Spontaneous kindness. You're coming out of a store and somebody's got a big package, and you see their car sitting there, you go over there and say, "Hey, can I open the door for you? You know, can I help you?" Right? Just acts of kindness. That's what this is. And of course, it goes deeper than just simple things, but simple things is where it starts. And so God says here, "As ye have therefore opportunity." That's just, hey, wow, look at what, hey, I can do something here. I can be kind here. Maybe it's in the home. This is the place where gentleness needs to be groomed. It's where it needs to be started. If we can't be gentle to those that we live with, we're never really going to be gentle from the heart through the Spirit of God to those in the community. Gentleness with spontaneity as we have opportunity. Whether that's just helping someone in a brief moment, just being kind, or whether that's baking something for a neighbor who was sick, and just, I heard so-and-so was not doing well. Maybe I can, you know, make a little dessert or a meal or something that would be appropriate, or take some flowers by, or, you know, help them, you know, rake their leaves that are blowing around. Whatever the case may be, spontaneity. See a need, pounce on the opportunity to be kind. And so the Bible says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men." But it says, "Especially unto them who are of the household of faith." In the body of Christ, fellow believers, God says this needs to be a priority. Those that we are, that are brethren and sisters in Christ. Sometimes we can be the meanest to those we are closest to. And that is not what God wants us to have. And so as we rely on the Holy Spirit, we can be kind to one another. Remember, this is a fruit of the Spirit. This is not something God is commanding us to do without Him. It's what He's commanding us to do as we abide in Christ. As we walk with the Lord, we can be gentle. And so the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness is only possible to a believer that is walking in the Spirit. Gentleness does begin in the home, in the closest of our relationships. I read a story here last night about two brothers who were playing in their room. The two-year-old reached up and yanked his brother's hair. His mother heard him scream in pain and rushed in to see what was going on. After hearing what happened, she told her older son, "Well, your brother is only 2 years old and he doesn't know yet what it's like to have his hair pulled. Just be patient with him." Moments later, the mother heard another scream, but this time it was coming from the two-year-old. Mom rushed into the room and asked what was wrong. Her older son replied, "You said he didn't know what it felt like to have his hair pulled. Well, now he does." This is our natural response. If someone is mean to us, we are tempted to be mean back. But God calls us not to this spirit, but to the Holy Spirit, to have gentleness to others, to treat others with kindness, to go out of our way to be kind. And so, we need the Holy Spirit's help to be kind to others, even to those who hurt us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for this fruit that we have been able to look at, very practical in everyday life, very important. Lord, we do know that our flesh naturally is inconsiderate of others and is selfish and often mean. Lord, help us to walk with you so that this special quality would be evident in our conduct, with the words we use, with the actions we exhibit. Lord, that we would express gentleness. Lord, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.